Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, do you know anything about the patterns of the presidential and vice presidential candidates' lives, their patterns that they've been born to? Because there's so much that we can know. We actually recently, if you heard the show, we did their human design. And I thought that was very revealing how they're designed through the human design system. But for this program, I want to look at the cards they were born to play in their lives, not only for their whole lives, which come from birth, but also what this year in their lives means in terms of which cards are they playing for the year. And we can determine that mathematically. So it's a very valuable resource to understand what they're here to play out this year. And to help us do that is our card master, a good friend and a man who's been a guest many times on Energy Stew, Alexander Dunlop. Alexander, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thanks, Peter. It's always good to be with you.
Thank you. And so let's get into this. We're going to mostly look at, I think, Biden, Harris, and Trump. And maybe you have some stuff on Pence. I don't think of him as relevant.
Yeah, I don't think that he is relevant for this election either.
Right. Good. So let's talk about I think years ago we talked about Trump and the fact that he's a three of diamonds. And what can you tell us about Trump just from his birth?
Sure. Well, three of diamonds, direct, blunt, then insecure, can easily get divided against himself, which would be why he feels the need to be so blunt and direct to enforce his way. It's a straight line of energy, but that straight line can easily get tipped sideways. And so to try to avoid that, he will do what it takes to keep himself going forward. And, crass, rude, anything like that, just to make sure this is the way I'm going.
And the other thing, not every three of diamonds is like that.
Not every three of diamonds decides to overplay it in the sense of I'm going to force my way.
Right. They might be overwhelmed.
And then they tip sideways and then they're not making any forward progress at all. I see a lot of three of diamonds get stuck with that. But all three of diamonds need to march to the beat of their own drum. And Trump certainly does that, much to the chagrin of his own advisors even. But three of diamonds, they have to do it their own way.
I think of three of diamonds as being a chaotic card. That
they can't
too many balls in the air. And so therefore you don't have any clear direction. You're just juggling, trying to keep things up.
Well, that's right. And that's the downside. And so to try to avoid that is I'm going to insist on doing it my way to make sure I don't get stuck in this chaotic, divided state.
Right. They try to make their way through the morass.
Totally.
Now we have two other players in this. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who have their own cards to play. And I guess maybe fortunately for them, they're not a three of diamonds.
Well, it's a different energy. Joe Biden is playing the King of Hearts. So he's a natural leader of people. And the critique of him that he's too touchy-feely or, too intimate with people, that's a natural King of Hearts tendency to be emotionally connected, to be touchy-feely, to be hands-on.
He's not just a king. He's a king through the heart.
And so emotional connection, hugs, pats on the back, touching with the hands, right? This is all part of emotional connection. And he's the king of that. And he leads through his heart.
Right. And that's wonderful. Though all these cards have shadows.
Yeah.
And so he's been very challenged to be the King of Hearts.
Well, most kings do find it challenging to be the king, to put on that crown of authority, because that crown can weigh really heavy and it can feel like a burden to be a leader. And we know that he didn't want to run for president 4 years ago, which I think he should have done, and I think he would have won. But you can see right there that he deferred and demurred from that authority and that responsibility.
Well, but also because of the King of Hearts being challenged, he was challenged in his family through the death of his son, but also he's had other big death challenges. Just not every King of Hearts has those kinds of challenges, but
no, they don't
have them. Yeah,
but they do. But Kings of the Heart do have emotional challenges in some form or another, and right. His have shown up in the way that you just described.
Yeah, and that's his birth card. Mm-hmm. And Kamala has an interesting birth card.
Well, she's born to play the Two of Clubs. So clubs is the mind and the two is about connection. So she's a great communicator. And the interesting connection between the two of them is that Joe Biden owes her a karmic debt. And so him nominating her as the vice president, we could read that as him repaying a karmic debt that he owes her by supporting her and giving her all this energy.
Wouldn't that be true for any Two of Clubs that comes into his life?
It would be, because of the dynamics between the King of Hearts and the Two of Clubs. The Two of Clubs, as I mentioned, is the karmic debt card of the King of Hearts. So any Two of Clubs, he would feel the need that he needs to give to them.
Right. And so he might attract that in his life.
He could, or he could resist it, because a lot of us resist dealing with our karma. We don't want to deal with it. But here we can see that he's actually facing it. And there's a physical person manifestation of him recognizing and dealing with his own personal karma in life.
Have you looked
karma
at their...
Harris, karma, it's funny, her name, Karma, Kamala.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. They also have ruling cards. How do you see that playing out?
Well, I always like to look at the birth card as the most important energy. It's our primary energy. The ruling card, as you call it, I call it the personality card. That's our public face, and it is how people see us, and it's how we show up.
Right.
And Kamala has the Jack of Diamonds, so shows up as someone who can solve any problem. Because the Jacks have a lot of ingenuity and independence and strength of will, that I got this, I can solve this, I know what to do here. And that's great, that kind of generative, ambitious energy.
Right. And we'll try anything.
What's that?
They will try anything.
They might. And they might get scattered. They might become a jack of all trades, master of none. Mm. Because they do have so much energy and ingenuity and wanting to try so many things.
Yeah, good for her.
But it bodes well for someone being a problem solver. Jacks can be great problem solvers.
I'm a jack.
Yeah.
So I've had a lot of problems to solve, but I think I've done a good job.
Well, that too, yeah.
So and Joe has he has a couple of ruling cards.
Well, he does. I look at the first one. So I look at the Four of Clubs, and clubs is the mind, and the four is the box. So he comes across as someone who has the answers. I know what to do. Very practical. I can organize things. I can put things in a nice, coherent framework. I've got the mental structure, and I know how to do this.
Tim, also Four of Clubs. So those are my two cards, Jack.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate what you're saying. Thank you. I'm trying to do that for the show.
Yeah.
So get the most out of my guest.
Well, yeah, you organize knowledge and you put it in a framework, a 30-minute time slot, and give it to your guests, your audience. I mean, here you go.
Good. So now, I'd really like to get into what you have suggested to do for this show, was talk about the cards they're playing for this particular year, for their birthday, one birthday to the next birthday.
Well, that's right. So we have lifelong cards. We have 13 cards in our life, along with karma cards. And then the beauty of this mathematical system is that every year we have new cards to play, so we can see specifically in our year what the opportunities are, what the challenges are. And there are some very interesting things to talk about in their yearly cards. I'll start with Donald Trump. He's in his 74th year, and he has some very strong cards this year. During the election, he has cards that, on the date of the election, he has cards that suggest stability and order and everything being structured, which suggests to me that things go his way. I know some people may not like to hear that, but he's also in what we would call a pinnacle year, which means that he's in a high place. He's at a pinnacle. So that would also suggest to me that people are going to be looking up to him. That's what it means when we're on a pinnacle year. We're on the top of the mountain.
Right, but it doesn't mean it has to work out.
It doesn't mean, I'm not saying he's going to win, but we're just looking at a few variables. So let's look at Joe Biden.
By the way, let's just quickly talk about Trump's ruling card, personality card, which I see as the Ace of Spades. Mm-hmm. So he's always going to keep creating new and try to find new ways.
Right. Well, his personality is he needs to prove that he's the ace. And we certainly see that. Like, he likes to assert, I'm the one who can figure this out. Right. I'm the ace. I'll ace this for everybody.
I'll create.
And it can be selfish, and it can be egotistical, for sure, that ace energy. And we see that. That's how he shows up. I'll be the ace. I'll solve this. And that's his lifelong pattern. So now, again, looking at the yearly patterns, I see that he's got, as I said, some strong cards this year. Now, let's look at Joe Biden. He has cards that reveal that he's going to be in the spotlight this year, and he certainly is. Is that spotlight going to last? I'm not sure. And the reason I'm not sure about that is because next year for him, he turns 78 on November 20th. So right after the election, he has a birthday, and our cards shift on our birthday. And when he turns 78, he has cards of disappointment. So doesn't necessarily mean he's going to lose the election, but something in his life is going to be really disappointing to him. And right after the election. So
you say earlier before the show, you were telling me there was a heart card involved in that.
Yes, he has the Nine of Hearts as his big challenge of his year in his 78th year. And as a challenge, the Nine of Hearts means loss. So he's going to lose something. It might not be the election, but something that's near and dear to his heart.
I worry about that for him, partly because of his age. He's my age. And I know what age can challenge us about. It feels to me like he's physically vulnerable. And so I've always felt that, you know, Kamala might become president.
It's possible, you know, and certainly he owes her that karmic debt to push her into the limelight and support her to grow in her career. And we're seeing that already, right? But just looking at the cards and being as neutral as I can be, it seems like Donald Trump has better cards this year than Joe Biden, if we were to just kind of match up cards.
Well, we don't know. Maybe Trump, his card will protect him. so that he might lose the election and quickly sneak off to live in Russia the rest of his life.
You know, I don't like to make predictions, and so I'm shying away from that even now on your show.
Well, that wasn't a prediction. That was just a projection.
Right. But just to look at, as I said, at the different factors in play, I can see that he's, as I mentioned, Trump has a lot of stability. That means no surprises. Nothing's going to really rock his boat. Things are going to go according to plan for him, which if he plans to win the election, that would seem that that's what that means. Whereas Biden has cards of disappointment. So, you know, how do you want to interpret that? Well, probably Biden's going to be disappointed in some way, but we don't know exactly what or how.
Right. Well, what might happen is that the Democrats can take back the Senate and therefore run Congress. And even though Trump might be president, he will be much more helpless.
Well, let me just look a little further. You know, Trump's pinnacle year continues all the way to his birthday in March. So.
What do you mean? I thought his birthday was in June.
Is his birthday in June? Whenever his birthday is, let me just. Yes, you're right. I apologize. June 14th is his birthday. So even that actually makes my case even stronger. His pinnacle year is continuing all the way until June, all the way through the inauguration. He's still in his pinnacle. Whereas I mentioned to you before the show that Joe Biden recently had his pinnacle year, and now his star is on the way down. So that's another variable indicator that suggests to me that Biden's on his way down and Trump is still up at the pinnacle. So,
right. And so it can mean many different things. You know, Biden on his way down might just mean that, because I've always seen him just as a bridge president, not as, you know, a solid choice, but somebody who will just help level things out again in some form that might not be satisfying, but will get us out of chaos, or at least somewhat out of chaos. But it might just be that he's really so interim that Kamala does take over.
I have thought that as well, and you know, anything is possible. You know, I've learned over the years that I don't know what, like I said, I don't know what Joe Biden's disappointment is going to be. I know there's going to be some disappointment for him. I just don't know, is that going to be personal? Is he going to have some in his personal life, or is that disappointment something with his professional aspirations?
Well, we're also coming into a time where the divine feminine is going to get a stronger and stronger foothold in this new age that we're in. And maybe it is a time that, you know, these two male figures that are kind of part of the institution, Trump created that. Well, he was corporate to begin with, but very tough on women. And you know, Joe might be good for women, but he's still an institutional guy. And maybe it is time for a woman to really take the helm, and particularly a black woman.
Well, it could be, I mean, just by nominating Kamala as his vice president, he gives her star a tremendous boost. You know, if you remember Sarah Palin, nominated by John McCain, she's still a big political commentator.
She's very self-destructive.
But she just, my point is that she got into the limelight,
yeah,
from that nomination. And right, Kamala is going to have that same boost, whether or not Biden wins the presidency. Her star will now be much brighter because of him nominating her.
It does feel different, though, because it's not the normal type of campaigning that gets you out there among crowds, and there's all this adulation among your supporters to be seen, because with virtual campaigning, you can't really see that outpouring. So that might, you know, it could diminish somebody's notoriety.
It could.
Yeah.
It could. But the interesting thing, as we've talked about, is this karmic debt that Biden owes her, that he's fulfilling by nominating her and supporting her.
Well, you know, and that's why it might be meaningful that that she's coming into her own. Does she have this same up or down that you're seeing from?
Let me just look. So she's born in 1964. So she's 56. Let's see. She is not near a pinnacle year in her life, so that does not apply. Because we have pinnacle years roughly once every 40 years or so. So it's
40 years. Wow.
Yeah. It's not often. We might have two pinnacles in our entire life. And
what constitutes what card constitutes a pinnacle?
It's a little bit esoteric for your audience. Okay. It's when we displace the card that's in the top of the crown line, and in the cycles of cards, when the cards move through, and when we're in that position, we're in the pinnacle. And there's 45 different placements, so it's actually every 45 years, to be precise.
And it's interesting that it comes at just that moment for Trump and for Biden.
Exactly. So that alone is interesting. Yeah. Biden just had his pinnacle year, and Trump is in his pinnacle year.
Well, maybe there's a good, still a nice shadow from the pinnacle year of Biden.
Well, that's, I think, what we're seeing is he's still got that afterglow from his pinnacle.
And it could last for a year or two. With three.
Well, it finishes for him on November 20th. That's what
right,
I'm saying.
Right, but there might be some afterglow from that.
No, this is the afterglow.
Oh, okay, well, that's too bad.
Yeah, but that we often see that, actually. It's very interesting in presidential elections that both men, and they are men, who are nominated are in a pinnacle year or near a pinnacle year, that they've risen to that pinnacle in their career just at that moment. And of course, we're all aware of these energies all the time, whether we know it or not. And so we look to that person of, oh, that person is up on a mountaintop and we want to look to them.
But we don't know how these pinnacle years will work out for both.
No, it doesn't necessarily mean that Trump is going to win. That's what I'm saying. But he is still riding that pinnacle all the way till June.
Yeah.
So he's not coming down from that mountaintop until after June.
But then after June, you know, all hell could break loose.
Well, it could be that then what happens, as you've already mentioned, is there's still an afterglow. We actually have 2 years of afterglow.
Oh, so he's okay. So he's going to go into the year that Joe is currently in.
The year before that Joe is in. Joe is 2 years ahead of him in terms of his pinnacle. Joe had his pinnacle 2 years ago.
Okay. All right. I understand that better. Thank you.
Yeah. So we go up to the top and we're still up there, but we're starting to come down and Joe's on his way down and he does still have that afterglow, and maybe that's enough. Maybe that afterglow will be enough to push him over the edge.
Yeah.
To his next political success. But then he does have disappointment and we don't know what that disappointment
is. Okay, good. So in other words, the afterglow doesn't end until after the election.
Right after it.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's still
3 weeks after.
Doesn't matter. It's still during the election.
I can see that you want to hope for that, Peter. And
well,
that's
I do, you know, but then again, you know, I think we need to really stir the pot a lot in life to, you know, get rid of the powers that be. And that's why I think of Biden only as a bridge to change, mm-hmm. not as change itself.
Right.
But I do think that there's a lot of destruction going on in the world right now, too much hate and division due to Trump's rhetoric. So I really want to see change. But anyhow, we really are at the end of the show. I love talking with you about this. It's you always have such great insights. And your grasp of the cards is really amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're a great student of it and teacher of it. And how can people find you?
Sure. My nonprofit organization is Life Elevated, and it's lifeelevated.life. And if you go to the website, you can look up your cards and get started for free. And then we have a lot of great resources for you there.
That's wonderful. And, you know, you really can help a lot of people, as they can see from just what you're saying about during this show, how much insight there is to have for everyone. So thank you, Alexander.
Thanks. You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.